And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today a very special program, very important program, might be the most important program you've listened to this year, maybe in many years. You know, we recently released my newest video, 90 minutes long, entitled Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the Hidden Cabal Behind the Plot to Murder America. Rothschild's Choice. Well, I had no idea. My video came out September 1st, and it wasn't long. I mean, like a week or so, week or two, that I got a news magazine that I get weekly called American Free Press. Some very good folks there in Washington, D.C. put that out, Willis Carto and company. And there I see announced a brand new book entitled The New Babylon, The New Babylon, Those Who Reign Supreme. And it's really a panoramic overview of the origins of the New World Order, and it centers right in on the Rothschild dynasty over the years, but right now today, how the Rothschilds have grabbed hold of the greatest empire on earth. That's the United States of America. And this book was really an incredible discovery right there on the pages of American Free Press announcing it. Now, you know, what are, I'm a big believer in God's providence, as you, all of you know. And, you know, there just are very few books out on the Rothschilds, or videos for that matter. In fact, I've never seen one like this new book by Michael Collins Piper entitled The New Babylon that centers in on the Rothschilds. There are books, of course, but many of them are favorable to the Rothschild. There's even a movie, The House of Rothschild, that, you know, extols the wonderful nature of these brilliant investors and bankers, the Rothschilds. But here is a book that told the truth, and it was coming out at exactly the same time as my video. Now, I want to tell you right now, most of you know Michael Collins Piper. You've seen his other books, and we've offered them. We still offer a number of books by Michael Collins Piper. He's the author, of course, of The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America, and a book that's really my favorite, The Golem, Israel's Nuclear Hail Bomb and the Road to Armageddon. He wrote the book Dirty Secrets about Crime, Conspiracy, and Cover-Up in the 20th Century. We've got all those. The Judas Goats, The Enemy Within, The High Priest of War, Final Judgment, all of these books we've offered to you. So many of you have his books, but here comes another one. He keeps putting them out. The man is a brilliant researcher, but this obviously is going to be my favorite book. Now, when I say favorite, I mean that it has the most impact. It's the most important, but it builds on all of the books by Mr. Piper. Now, Mr. Piper has been a writer for the American Free Press for many years, and I've read his works there. He's done a brilliant job on it. And believe me, this man has to be despised and hated by Zionists, by the elitists who are promoting a new world order, and now, of course, even the Rothschilds after this expose. But here's my whole point. And I'm going to introduce you to Michael Collins Piper and sort of turn the program over to him in just a minute, by asking him some key questions, and I know he has the answers to them, I'll tell you. But here's the whole thing about it. You see, I believe God has his timing. It's time to expose the Rothschild Empire, because it's the last day's empire, friends. I mean, this is it. Everything is cascading down on our heads. Banking cartels, smashing their opponent banks and taking them over, ending the lives of really, American brand name corporations, General Motors and others, smashing American social mores, bringing us a whole new way of life in America, destroying our Constitution and I'm afraid, and this is one of the questions I'm going to ask Mr. Piper, I'm afraid we're going to see what happened with the Armenian genocide and the Soviet genocide, the Red Terror, happen in America, and it's being brought on our heads by the Rothschilds. And this book, The New Babylon, gives you an understanding. Now, here's the whole key, this. Daniel 12, verse 10 of the Bible. God said that his saints would understand the events of the last days, said the wise shall understand. Wise, because God gives us information. Otherwise, we perish, the Bible says. But the wicked, the Bible says, shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. So we have millions of evangelical Christians assisting the satanic Zionists and the Rothschilds and the Obamas to do their dirty work, and they're going to kill us, I believe that, and think that they're doing God a service. In fact, that's what Jesus said in the last days. They will kill you and think they do God's service, and truly, they do their God service. That is the grand architect of Freemasonry. We're talking about Lucifer or Satan, the God of the Rothschilds, the God of Obama, the God of George W. Bush, by the way. So I want to introduce to you Michael Collins Piper, the author of The New Babylon. Michael, welcome to our program today.
Tex, it's a real pleasure to be back on this program. I know you have a lot of listeners who've been reading my books. I get letters from them, letters and emails from them all the time. So I know then that there's a lot of people out there who are listening to your program. And I want to tell you something, Tex. You mentioned to me before we came on the program, you wanted to ask me about the origins of my book. Mm. That's a very interesting question. A key question, a pointed question. Now, as you pointed out, there's been a lot written about the Rothschilds over the years. Now, as far as I'm concerned, there are two key books about the Rothschilds that if anybody wants the story about the Rothschilds, they've got the story right there. Number one of those books was written by the late Arnold Leese. He wrote a book back in the 1930s, a very small book entitled Gentile Folly, The Rothschilds. But of more recent date, the far more important book on the topic is a book that you published, Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Oh, yes.
And for anyone who wants to know the history of the Rothschild family, it's right there in that book. Now, despite the fact that these books have already been out there, I wrote this book, The New Babylon, for a very specific reason. In my previous book, The New Jerusalem, Zionist Power in America, I focused on the facts and the figures about the reality of Zionist power in America. But it just kind of presented the reader with the current day situation, but didn't really explain how it came to be. Now, part of the reason then that I wrote The New Babylon was that I felt that the reader needed a historic overview of how things came to be as they are in the United States today and in the world. But more importantly, in this day and age of the Internet, I have detected that there are a lot of people, and Tex Mars is not among them. You have been up there in the forefront telling the people the facts, the historical facts, the religious facts, the philosophical facts about the nature of the New World Order. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there on the Internet and publishing small newspapers and magazines who are not telling the whole story. And I said to myself, okay, somebody needs to write a book telling the whole story and putting it all together in a framework that makes sense. So while, in fact, my book does focus on the Rothschild Empire and its power, the nature of its power in America today, and much of what appears in The New Babylon previously appeared in The New Jerusalem, this book takes it much, much further, and in several hundred more pages, goes back to the days of Babylon during the so-called Jewish captivity, when the Jewish people formulated the Talmud. And the Talmud, in fact, remains to this day the real framework for the Jewish religion and for the Jewish ideology of Zionism. But it goes a little deeper than that. we have to recognize that what we have often referred to and what we've heard referred to as the New World Order actually has its origins in the Babylonian Jewish Talmud. In the Talmud and in other writings that emerged in the Jewish world, they made it very, very clear that their ultimate game plan, their ultimate goal, was what one writer, a Jewish writer, referred to as a Jewish utopia. And what we're referring to here in this Jewish utopia is no less than what we know of as the New World Order, a global imperium, a global plantation in which the Jewish people reign supreme and all non-Jews are basically slaves. Maybe I shouldn't say basically slaves, are slaves. Those who stand in opposition to this New World Order, this Jewish utopia, are scheduled to die. These are the people who are called in the Jewish writings the unrighteous and the wicked. Now, we have the Rothschild Empire in existence, but the Rothschilds didn't really formulate their financial empire until the end of the 18th century. Now, my book makes this clear, that in the years leading up to the end of the 18th century, there were many very powerful Jewish financial interests assembling vast power and influence throughout Europe. And as a consequence of that, they played a major part in European expansion into Asia and Africa and even into Latin America. However, it was the rise of the House of Rothschild that actually consolidated Jewish power. The Rothschild Empire rose to gigantic preeminence. And as a consequence of that, beginning in the late 18th century, but by about 1830 roughly, the Rothschild family became the richest family on the face of the planet. And a simplistic way of putting it is this. During that time frame, they largely consolidated their power in London, in the banking center known as the City of London. But they also had banking houses in other major countries in Europe, which were also beginning to establish their own empires. But at the same time, behind those national empires were the banking houses of the Rothschilds and satellite Jewish banking houses that saw the Rothschilds as more or less the senior partner. Now, everybody talks about the British Empire, but I always waggishly call it the Yiddish Empire, the Rothschild Empire. And of course, the United States was a colony of the British Empire, and what a lot of people don't realize, and I point this out in the New Babylon, that the Rothschilds began their move onto American soil back as early as the days of the establishment of the First National Bank of the United States. And their power continued to expand in the United States to the point that what we know as some of these great white Anglo-Saxon Protestant fortunes were actually only people who were essentially acting as fronts for the Rothschild Empire. These people weren't Jewish. Many of them were nice Episcopalians and Presbyterians and other religions. But the Rothschild tentacles were already expanding through the United States. And it's my contention, and I think the current day reality of the situation we have in the world today demonstrates that the Rothschilds have so consolidated their power that if they are not in complete control of the United States, they have their hands on the levers of power in all areas of the United States. And here's another point that needs to be made, that as a consequence of their getting this power, they have used it in an insidious fashion. They're using the United States. You know, for years and years, people were worried about the United Nations being the force that would take over the United States, that somehow the United Nations would take over the United States. But no, what we have now is that the United States is being used by the International Rothschild Empire, which controls the American economy through the Federal Reserve System, which controls the American political system through their domination of a tightly controlled national media complex. They're using the United States to enforce a new world order at the expense of the American treasury and at the expense of the American boys and girls who are going off to fight wars in the Middle East for Israel and really occupy the whole world. Another one point that I'd like to make, if I could, Tex, it's this. And I've heard this said on the Internet. I hear people say this. I hear people say, oh, well, the Rothschilds really aren't Jewish. Well, first of all, let me say this. The Rothschilds are Jewish. They're a very, very closely knit family, and they have intermarried with other wealthy Jewish families. And the Rothschilds are devoted to the religion of Judaism. In fact, an early admirer of Meyer Rothschild, the founder of the dynasty, wrote, "Meyer Rothschild was a zealous believer in the Talmud and chose it alone as the guiding principle of all his actions." So the Rothschilds have been imbued with a devotion to the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, and they are dedicated to advancing their control in the world today. Now, I've heard other patriots come up and say, well, Israel is an independent nation, and Israel is as much a victim of the Rothschilds as other nations are. Well, I'm here to tell you, Tex, that that's not true. A lot of people want to believe that to be true, but the fact is the Rothschilds, this is interesting, the Rothschilds initially did not like the concept of Zionism, that is, setting up a Jewish state in Palestine. But ultimately, the Rothschild family came around to supporting Zionism, and after the Rothschilds lent their considerable clout and the influence of their empire to supporting Zionism, the state of Israel emerged. Now, what's happening in the world today is that there's a lot of people who will point in the direction of the state of Israel and say, well, Israel is doing a lot of bad things, but Israel doesn't represent all Jews, which, of course, it doesn't. Or they'll say that Israel is just this one little nation in the Middle East. But in my estimation, the state of Israel simply functions today as a, how can I put, as kind of an international central office for the spiritual aspects of Zionism. But Zionism is very much Judaism. There's only a small number of Jews in some very small groups of people, like the Nutra-Carta group, that don't support the state of Israel. But overwhelmingly, if you look at the facts and the figures, you see, based upon polls, based upon the activities of the American Jewish community and Jewish communities around the world, they do, in fact, gear their own governments to supporting Israel. But we always have to remember that the Rothschilds and the international Jewish bankers and these cliques that have been part of the New World Order, including Freemasonry, I might add, and the Illuminati, all of which are interconnected, they have always been intriguing toward a New World Order long before the Jewish state of Israel was ever established. So I'm telling patriots now, patriots of all countries, not just the United States, to not get too distracted by the state of Israel, because even if there was no state of Israel, there would be the Rothschild Empire, there would be the international banking establishment, there would be this New World Order that we have to contend with. And if somehow the state of Israel disappeared tomorrow, that would not solve our problems. So we don't want to get too distracted looking in one direction. We have to look at the big picture, and we have to confront the reality that Zionism is a part of Judaism. Judaism is guided by the Talmud, and the Talmud is the guiding force by the New World Order. Now, I just want to give you one more quote here, and I'll let you ask me a question if you want, because I'm doing all the talking.
Well, I tell you, you're giving some very powerful information, so
well,
you continue.
Well, I tell you what, Tex, I just want to remind the listeners of something that I quoted in my book. It's in the New Babylon. You know, in the book, I have a chapter entitled Jews, Israel, Money, and Power. It's an introductory chapter. I call them intertwined realities, taboo topics in our modern world. And you know, see, that is the problem. We have so many people who don't want to talk about these things. People don't want to mention the word Jews. They don't want to mention Israel. But when it comes down to the aspects of money and power, the words Jews and Israel are inextricably intertwined. It's just a reality. And I thought that Jewish-American author Gerald Krefitz, in his book, Jews and Money, The Myths and the Reality, and he's not an anti-Semite, it's published by a mainstream publishing house, he made the following quote that I'd like to conclude here with. He wrote the following. He said, "Perhaps it is possible to separate Jewish interests from Israeli interests, but the trick is yet to be turned. What touches Israel touches global Jewry and vice versa. Purists and theoreticians may argue about the separation of church and state, Jews and Israelis, Judaism and Zionism, But in the real world, the connection is hard, fast, and seemingly indivisible. And I think he's absolutely right. If we're going to talk about the New World Order, we do have to talk about Israel. We do have to talk about Jewish people and their religion. And we do have to talk about the power of money. They are, as I say, intertwined realities.
Let's go a little further with that. And I want to bring in, if you don't mind,
please,
Michael, I want to bring in Bible prophecy here.
Please.
You know, you titled your book, The New Babylon. Now, to me, this is very significant because Babylon is more than just a code word of maximum evil and decadence and debauchery, sin and wickedness. No, no, no. The Bible itself says the last day's great empire on earth will be that great city known as Mystery Babylon. All right? So we have to understand now, if this Jewish empire of the Rothschilds is the new Babylon, and I believe you're absolutely on target, then it is Mystery Babylon. It is the successor of the ancient Babylon written of in the book of Genesis in the Bible. Now, here's what we have to understand. And I don't want to take away your thunder. You're saying some powerful things. But in the book of Revelation in the Bible, we have the example of the two witnesses. The two witnesses. Now, my personal opinion is the two witnesses, that is an allegory, and it has to do, first of all, with the Word of God and with His church, His saints. These are the two witnesses, okay, on earth in the last days. Now, the interesting thing is these two witnesses, however, appear to be slain. They're hated, they're despised, and when they finish their testimony, this beast, this Babylonian beast that rises up on the face of the earth, ascends out of the bottomless pit, which is hell, makes war on the two witnesses, on the Word of God, on the saints of God, and overcomes them. That's what it says in Revelation 11. Now, verses 8 and 9 make it very carefully that these things transpire in that great city, which is Babylon, but spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. And listen to what it says, Michael. It says, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was Jesus Christ crucified? In Jerusalem. It says right there, their dead bodies, that's the two witnesses, shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now we have three names for the Jewish world center, let's just call it, Jerusalem. The first is Babylon, wickedness incarnate. The second is Sodom, the very eyes view of sexual wickedness. The third is Egypt, where you had the first great government of the devil and the worship of Lucifer as the sun god, along with a whole panoply of incredible ritual, human sacrifices and so forth. Now, so it makes it very clear the great city, Mystery Babylon, and of course it goes on to talk about it. Chapter 17, verse 13 talks about this great beast. But I want people to understand, the great city is Jerusalem. Now, here's an interesting thing. Jesus was crucified outside the city. The Bible in the New Testament says that Jesus was taken out to a mountain, a hill called Golgotha, or the skull. And there, this hill overlooks the city of Jerusalem. Now, they cast Jesus out and crucified him along with two thieves at that particular spot, because the Bible says that no prophet can be slain in Jerusalem itself. But I think the spiritual significance of this is the Jews themselves then extend their city out. Their great horrible deed of killing the Son of God, you know, or trying to by doing it to his body. But of course, we know that Jesus' spirit lives on and is eternal. And he's with the Lord God, and he is the Lord God. But what I'm trying to make clear is that this great city is much greater than just Jerusalem. It extends to the whole world, and that world empire began the moment that Jesus was taken just outside the city limits and crucified on that hill known as the skull. And to this day, the Jews wear their little skull caps, which I think is an abomination and is symbolic of their killing of the Son of God. Now, what we have to understand is the Bible itself says this mystery Babylon extends throughout the world. Now, this gets to your words, Michael.
Well, you know, Tex, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, back when I wrote the New Jerusalem, I concluded that I had some parting thoughts in the book. But when in my final real chapter of the book, I concluded with these words. I said, is America more than just the New Jerusalem? Perhaps it is truly the New Babylon. So I foreshadowed my own book, The New Babylon, 5 years ago when I wrote New Jerusalem. I guess I didn't know at the time, I certainly didn't know at the time, that I was going to come around to write this book. But you see, even without being familiar with what you have just discussed, I knew it instinctively. I knew it spiritually. I knew that it was more than just the New Jerusalem. We were talking about something much bigger, the New Babylon. And you know what's very, very interesting, Tex, that after I had conceived of the title of the book, I knew the theme of the book, and I knew the title of the book, and I had a massive amount of research material in front of me, but I want to tell you what a shock it really was. It was not a shock, but it was a confirmation to me, I should say, of what I had written in the New Jerusalem. I came across a book published back in the early 1960s by Max Diamond. The book was entitled Jews, God, and History. And then he later wrote another book, kind of a follow-up, entitled The Indestructible Jews. Now, this book, Jews, God, and History, was hailed in 1962 as unquestionably the best popular history of the Jews written in the English language. And in that book, I was just so both delighted and horrified, I suppose, to find that Max Diamond, this highly esteemed Jewish philosopher, had a chapter about the United States entitled The New Babylon. He said that the Jewish life and Jewish intellectual thought was shifting to the United States. But what's even more interesting, though, is that he goes on to say that the Jewish people and their philosophy have survived all the other great civilizations. And he goes on to suggest that even the United States, even though this has been the place where Judaism and the Jewish people have taken root and gotten great power and influence, he says that even the United States will ultimately pass on, just as other great civilizations have passed on, and that in the end, all the people of the world will come around and look to the Jewish people for their leadership. And that indeed is the New Babylon. That is the New World Order. That is the Jewish utopia. And we cannot get away from that, because this is what they believe and this is their intention. Our question is, are we going to go along with it?
All right. Well, when we come back, friends, I'm going to ask Michael Collins Piper what will happen if we don't prevent this. Since they are parasites on the great American empire and have co-opted and taken over this world's sole remaining superpower and intend to basically seize control of every planet, a planetary institution and nation, what are we going to do about it? And if we can't stop it, what will happen to you and me and to America? We'll be right back. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us, won't you? Tex Mars back again. You know, this book, The New Babylon, is tremendous. I'm going to offer it to you, friends. You know, we don't offer many books here in the ministry. You know that. Very few. And we don't pay any attention to bestsellers, although this is going to be a best-selling book. But the ones that are in the bookstores, Barnes & Noble and Borders and so forth, well, that's all just propaganda by the establishment. When I offer a book here on Power of Prophecy, I look for a book of truth. I look for a book that will allow you and me to understand the real things going on in the world, and not all the propaganda you get from the Republican Democrat parties and Fox News and CNN, all that malarkey. So this is a book that cuts right to the bone. It goes right to the truth. And I'll tell you, you need this book, okay? $25 for this book. It's well over, let's see, 275 pages with the back matter or so. Around 275, let's just say, give or take a few. The New Babylon by Michael Collins Piper. It's the only book like it. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You know, you're not going to go to Barnes & Noble probably and get this book. They may have it for a little while till they find out what it's about. And then, of course, the Zionists will get it off the shelves as soon as they can. But we're offering it here. Now, friends, if you want to know the truth, and that's what we're all about, that's what this ministry is based on, telling the truth, you need this book. And it goes right along with my new video, Rothschild's Choice. You might want to order both of them. Rothschild's Choice, 90 minutes long video. It's in DVD now. DVD is the only format that we have for the video. Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the Hidden Cabal Behind the Plot to Murder America, $25. Or this book, The New Babylon by Michael Collins Piper, that is a panoramic overview of the origins of the New World Order, with a special emphasis throughout on an exposure of the Rothschilds. So we want you to have this book, $25. Now, for either book or video, please add $5 shipping and handling. $5 shipping and handling. In other words, $30 for the book, The New Babylon, or $30 for Rothschild's Choice. Now, how to get these books, this book and this video? You simply phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And of course, you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. And there on the homepage, you will see we are offering The New Babylon. Okay? It'll be up by the time you listen to this radio program, and you can order it right on the internet. In fact, maybe you're listening to this program on the internet, and just go right now and order the book while you're listening to the program. The New Babylon by Piper, P-I-P-E-R. And incidentally, you may want to check out his excellent book, The Golem, while you're at it. Now, again, our phone number here, 1-800-234-9673, or our website, powerofprophecy.com. The book, The New Babylon. Now let's return to our program. My special guest today is Michael Collins Piper. This book is new and it's fire hot, and it's going to cause a lot of ruckus in some quarters, and I'm sure it's being read over at the Jewish ADL and at the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and they're cursing and screaming and saying, how are we going to stop this man, Michael Collins Piper? Well, Michael, how are they going to stop you?
Well, I tell you what, I always say that the Mossad of Israel should have a 24-hour guard on me, because if I stepped out the door and tripped down the steps and broke my neck all by accident, everybody would think that the Zionists did it. So I think they shoot me alive.
that's probably true.
But, you know, on a more serious note, Tex, you know, before we went to the break, you posed a question to me as to what's going to happen. And, you know, what is going to happen, Tex, is that America, as even though it is such a singular part of this drive for a new world order, This Jewish historian, Max Diamond, this Jewish philosopher, made it very clear that although the United States may be a great empire, it may be a great, great temple of wealth, in the end, in the Jewish philosophy, in the Jewish agenda, there is no great one great nation other than the Jewish nation.
And, you know, we've seen the intrigues of the Jewish bankers on Wall Street. We've seen the looting of our economy. We've seen our assets being transferred overseas. America is at a very critical point at this time. America is not scheduled to continue to last as the America that we know and love. And, you know, a lot of people find that hard to accept, Tex, a lot of Americans, because they have lived in a period. Everybody who's alive today has lived in a period when the United States has been a world superpower. But what people forget is that the United States is a relatively young country, less than 300 years old. And there were many great civilizations, as Max Diamond pointed out, that have come and gone and then lasted for a long, long time. And in the Jewish worldview, the Jewish people always survived this. So, you know, this is why I wrote this book, to alert people to the nature of what was happening, to the nature of the threat. And, you know, Ezra Pound, the great American poet, said back during World War II, when Americans were being shipped off to fight in that crazy war, he said Americans needed to understand the enemy. He said, don't die like a beast. If you were dead set to be sunk in the mid-Atlantic or Pacific or scorched in a desert, at least know why it is done to you. To die not knowing why is to die like an animal. Mm. To die like a human being, you have at least got to know why it is done to you. But I'm not so cynical, Tex, because I think that, thank God, thanks to programs like yours and thanks to growing awareness of people, not only in the United States but around the world, I think we can pull the plug on this New World Order.
Well, I'd like
to do it. To do it, we have to tell people what it's really all about. And see, that's why I'm urging these patriots who don't want to face the facts to say, hey, look, if you're serious, if you're in this fight to win, you got to start telling the truth. You got to start talking like Mike Piper. You got to start talking like Tex Mars. You got to, if to die like a human being, you have got to know why it is done to you. In other words, just like Ezra Pound said. But I don't think we're going to die if we stand up and fight. And by what we're doing, we're spreading the word. You're spreading the word. I'm spreading the word. A lot of good people are spreading the word. We are preparing people for what's ahead, but we're also telling them who the enemy is, what the enemy has in his agenda, and how we can fight them. And, you know, I tell you, it's kind of funny. Two people who've been long at this, Willis Cardo, who's with American Free Press, and my friend Tony Blizzard, who's been in this fight now for probably about 50 years. Tony Blizzard actually was a protege of an American lady named Paquita de Shishmaref, who wrote, under her pen name, L. Fry, wrote the famous book, Waters Flowing Eastward,
oh, yes.
History of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Well, both Tony Blizzard, the protege of Ms. de Shishmaref, and Willis Cardo both independently commented to me that the one point they didn't like about the New Babylon was the final paragraph. And let me read that paragraph to you and comment on it. I said, in short, it's all up to the Jews. Will they repudiate their claim of being God's chosen people and finally join the community of mankind? Will they abandon the drive for the Jewish utopia, or will the Jews risk the inevitable fight and devastating defeat that the other, that is the Goyim, the non-Jews, will inflict upon them? The choice is theirs. Tony and Willis both commented that they could not conceive of the Jewish people ever coming around to Christ, that they could never see the Jewish people and the Rothschild Empire abandon their power and influence, their control of the media, their control of the money. And I said, well, I said, you know, in reality, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. We can keep praying that it will, but I'm afraid in this case, we're going to have to stand up and fight in a lot of different ways. But ultimately, Tex, despite the turmoil and the trouble, the chaos and the confusion, in the end, I know we are going to prevail, but it's going to be a tough road ahead before we do.
Well, you know, I just turned to page 264 where you read that final paragraph there. I understand the reasoning that you have. I also understand, you know, Brother Willis Cardo and his statement that the Jews, because they're really demonic, are not going to choose life. They're not going to choose truth. They're going to soldier on to their devastating defeat. But I want to mention that you do put in there about this coming devastating defeat. Now, here's something interesting to me. You know, the Bible itself says, choose this day whom you will serve. They have chosen wealth, riches, power. They have chosen the god of money, who is Satan or Lucifer. Now, I believe, because what the Bible says, apparently, for most Jews, that is an irrevocable choice, okay? And I'm sorry about it, but that's just the way it is. That's their choice, though. And so, you know, I understand your wording there. And they are choosing defeat. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. We go back to, again, to the title, Michael, of your book, The New Babylon. In Revelation 17, it depicts this mystery Babylon system, the new Babylon of the last days. It depicts it as a woman. She has a cup of filthiness and abominations. She's drunken with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. This is a picture of the Jews over the centuries and their horrible crimes and murders of human beings on a massive genocidal scale of the Goyim throughout history, what the Jews have done to us, sometimes even using other Goyim as their, you know, their servants, you might say, in killing Goyim, Goyim killing Goyim, such as the Turks did at the behest of the Young Turks, who were actually crypto-Jews who had taken over the Turkish Empire back in 1915. But here's the whole thing about it. It talks about this woman, this whore, which is Judaism, Zionism in the last days, and it extends throughout the earth. It talks about the seven hills or seven mountains. That's the seven continents of earth. But then something happens. At first, it is so strong, this mystery Babylon system, the Bible says, that there will come up 10 world rulers. We can call them prime ministers, chancellors, presidents. And there will be one of them which will be the most powerful of all. Okay? And this will be an incredible superpower that comes up on the face of the earth in the last days. And it says, and the others of the 10 will give all of their strength and power unto this beast. Now, I'm not going to say much about this, but I want the audience to understand this. It says that Babylon rides this beast, this superpower, the world's greatest superpower, rides it, tells it where to go, what to do, whom to kill. So much so that this beast takes over the whole world as the whore rides it and directs it in its bloody mission. But here is the key to all things. Here is the confirmation of Michael Collins Piper's very last paragraph. It says suddenly something dramatic happens. A turnabout. Just after taking over the whole world and seemingly invincible, unstoppable, it says the beast then that this whore is riding and guiding and using as its proxy to demolish and slaughter and decimate, it says that this beast actually turns on the woman unexpectedly and burns her flesh with fire. In other words, Israel, the Jews, Zionism, use any term you want to, any euphemism you'd like. These evil synagogue of Satan people that conquer the whole earth by using the beast, which I believe is the United States of America in the last days. But then that beast turns on her, that is Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and totally destroys her flesh with fire. And it says it is the will of God that this happens. So when you say, Michael, when you say here that there is an inevitable fight, but there will be a devastating defeat, that the other will inflict upon them. Yes, I don't know how this is going to happen. You know, we've had some presidents that maybe at first did whatever the Zionist power wanted them to do. Truman, Nixon, even Kennedy, perhaps. But then they said no more and began to try to turn against the whore. Now, the whore destroyed them. But we have to understand, they were heroes who for a short time went up against the whore, against Mystery Babylon, the new Babylon, the Rothschild Empire. But someday one will come up and he's going to destroy the whore and he will be the instrument of God. And I don't know, he may be evil himself, Michael. And it may take Jesus Christ finally to put everything right. That's what the Bible says. But I know this. Israel, the Jews, the Zionists, the Jewish utopians are making a horrible mistake. They have chosen to do evil. They will do evil. But isn't it astonishing that God says the very instrument they use, this beast power, will turn against them in the last days?
Oh, I think it's all playing out before us today. I mean, this is what's so frightening about it, that we do have these unfortunate times, and that's an understatement. But I think it's all playing out. I mean, it's playing out just as Max Diamond wrote in his book Jews, God, and History. It's playing out just as the Jewish philosophers of the past, the Jewish rabbis whose debates appear in the pages of the Talmud today, all of this coming to the fore. It's coming true, to put it bluntly. And at the same time, though, there are so many good people waking up. I mean, we just saw Congressman Jim Traficant get out of 7 years in prison. And, you know, here's a guy, 7 years in prison. He served longer, I'm sure, than any other member of Congress ever served in prison. I personally believe that he was set up and taken down by the Zionist powers in the Justice Department. But be that as it may, whatever the circumstances, Jim Traficant came out of jail, and in national television interviews, he's been saying, and he said it in an interview with American Free Press that's going to be published this week, he said it flat out, that we have this problem where we have Israeli interests controlling the United States Congress, controlling the American media, controlling American finance, and it's setting the stage for very bad things to happen to the United States. Thank God there's at least one politician. He's not in office anymore, but there's one politician who is unbent and unbowed despite 7 years.
Now, here's an astonishing thing, though. You said, thank God there's one. Now, let me just say, in the past few years, I've talked with two people that many patriots would know. One has a very powerful radio program. The other puts out a Christian-type magazine and has a Christian ministry. The gentleman who has the Christian ministry told me, said, Tex, I would love to expose the Jews, the Zionist power. But if I did, they would fire me. I would not be able to be president of this ministry any longer. I hope to write articles on this and slowly educate people. But if I go too far, too past, the Zionists will rise up and destroy me. Well, I sort of understood that. Then I was talking to this patriot radio host, and he said, I know about the Jews. I know about the Zionists. I understand the Israeli Mossad. I know about the dancing Israelis that videotaped the whole 9/11 thing and that they were, you know, Mossad spies. But, hey, I would be taken off the radio. And I'm listened to nationally. I can't do anything about it. Now, Michael, I'm going to just say something to you. And I'm not trying to build you up into more than you are. But what is there in Michael Collins Piper or Willis Carto? And listen, and I'm going to tell the people on November 7th. And by the way, folks, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. It's on our website. Go there to our website and it'll have a little block there that says all the information you need about Tex Morris going to speak in Washington, D.C., sponsored by the American Free Press, who Michael Collins Piper works with there. And I'm going to be there, and we'll be talking about these things. But when I'm there, I want people to understand that Willis Carto, in my mind, is a hero. You are a hero. Yes, Jim Trafficant is a hero. But what does it take to be a hero? What has made you, oh, I don't know, would you call it stubborn or whatever? What is the makeup of a man that he says, I'm going to expose this no matter what the cost? What are you made of, Michael?
I tell you what, Tex, it goes back a long, long time ago. I got interested in all of this stuff when I was like 16 years old, and I really didn't know that I was going to end up being a writer. I always thought I wanted to be a lawyer or an architect or get into the construction business or something like that, you know. And then when I just happened to get a part-time job working at Liberty Lobby, which was run by Willis Carto, it was a publisher of the Spotlight newspaper, I realized at that time that I realized that I felt my views, not just my views, but the views that I was expressing, the views that Liberty Lobby and the Spotlight newspaper were putting forth, were such important views that could not be abandoned. And I kind of recognized that, you know, I might have gone on and become a lawyer or something like that, but I would have still held my views. And if I would have made the mistake of speaking out and saying what I really believed, that would be the end of my career as a lawyer.
Mm.
Or that would be the end of my career, you know, in some other arena. And I said to myself, okay, I'm going to cross the line here. I'm going to make the conscious decision to get into advocacy journalism, for want of a fancy way of putting it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said at that point, once I do that, once I cross the line, I cannot look back. So I have nothing to lose.
Well,
I have nothing to lose.
But there came a point, though, where you did make that decision, and you said, and I like this, it was a conscious decision.
Right, right.
That's pretty important.
It was, because I said to myself, I really believe in what I'm doing, and I want to continue doing what I'm doing. I never thought I would end up writing as many books as I did. People always used to say to me when I was a kid, oh, you want to be a writer, don't you? Because I was always writing, you know, and I just never really even thought there would be anything I was going to write a book about.
Yeah.
But I've turned quite a few of them out, and the reason why is because there's a lot to be said, and I would like to think that over the years, you know, there have been so many good people writing so many good books and putting out so many good videos and making so many good presentations. I would like to think that each of the things that I have put out, the books that I've put out, and the stories that I've written, provide people new information in a new, both new and old information in a new framework that makes them understand it more. I don't try to be scholarly. Some people say my work is scholarly. Other people have criticized me and said, oh, well, he's just a journalist, not a scholar. I really don't care what people call me. I just want people to read what I have to say and maybe learn something from it. All of us have some way of communicating. There's some people like you have radio broadcasts and put out videos. There's other people who write books, other people who write articles. There's other people who maybe can't write, but they can take your videos and my books and pass them out to people and educate people. And my hope is that somebody somewhere out there will be affected in a positive way.
Well, that's
if
right.
It's
that's,
only one person.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be more than one. Because
oh yeah, but
the folks out there
who can make a difference if they get the information in their hands and use it in a positive, constructive way, then I feel like I've accomplished something, and everybody who's trying to do something has accomplished something.
Well, this the new Babylon, the book that you have just published through American Free Press, does accomplish something. And I want to compliment my audience. I have the most wonderful audience. And I'll tell you, many of them were like me. Many years ago, I had no understanding of these things. I wish there had been a Michael Collins Piper way back then, like there is today. So people have more of an opportunity to know the truth. You mentioned earlier, Michael, the internet. It's creating a great problem for the Zionist in power. Now, let's talk a little bit more. We don't have a lot more time, probably only a couple of minutes. And that's what I would like to ask you. Here it is. We know about the Armenian genocide. We know about the communists Jews, Trotsky and Lenin, and the horrible things they did to all the millions of Christians in Russia and the Ukraine and so forth. We know about the horrors, the blood that's been shed. If we don't stand up and do something very soon, is this where America's headed?
I think, I mean, Tex, my God, I mean, since 9/11, we've had all this insane police state-style legislation like the Patriot Act. But, you know, even before that, going way back to the 1960s and 1970s, there were already mechanisms being set in place all over the United States for a police state. I mean, we hear about FEMA and the concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no doubt about it. This has been going on for a long, long time. But let me tell you something about FEMA. What a lot of people don't understand about FEMA is they look at it as this federal agency. But I'm here to tell you that in every county in Texas and every county in my home state of Pennsylvania, every county in every state of the United States, there is a local emergency management agency. It might be the, I don't know what counties there are in Texas. I don't know. Just say there's a, is there a Johnson County in Texas? Well, let's say there is.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. In Johnson County, Texas, they have a local emergency management agency. That agency, and I'm sure there's lots of nice people there, but that agency is effectively an arm of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency is an even more comprehensive intelligence agency with tentacles in every county in this country. Reaching into that county, when anybody in Washington wants to know about what's going on in any county in this country and who the people are there, they contact that local emergency management agency, and they call those people up, and they say, well, now, you're sworn to secrecy. You're part of our homeland security mechanism. You're part of protecting this country against terrorists and political troublemakers and the militias and the religious fanatics and the people who support the Constitution. Tell us about these people. That's what's going on. So our police state mechanism is much bigger and more wide-ranging in this country.
They know who we are.
They know what we're saying.
Mm.
And they have the mechanism to put us in jail and kill us if they want. No question about it.
So under the guise of protecting us from terrorism, they have used our own money as Americans to build a great police state, Big Brother gulag here in the United States of America.
That's right.
That's the bottom line. Well, Michael Collins Piper, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. Michael's book is The New Babylon, and I promise you, you will not regret getting this book. You will not regret ordering several copies and giving them to your friends. Spread the word, folks. I believe God has a mission for you and me. We're evangelists of the truth, and we need to get this out. The Bible says that God's people perish for lack of knowledge, and God has given us now knowledge of these last days, what is really happening. Michael, thanks again so much.
Tex, I appreciate it very much. God bless you.
God bless you. Folks, you can listen to Michael Collins Piper. He has his own radio program. You can go and look up American Free Press. And remember, November 7th, you can call our ministry, 1-800-234-9673. Ask about my appearance, my presentation, November 7th, Washington, D.C. I hope to see many of my good friends there so I can shake hands, hug a few necks. And we're going to talk about some important things in Washington, D.C., November the 7th. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And it's my fervent wish and prayer that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.